more. Maybe it's not mine. Our chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got some very, very interesting information for you. We've got Patrick Byrne that was not only interviewed on the 23rd by Owen Stroyer. Now, we have that up. We're going to put that up on the secrettruth.com page. So you can come up and listen to that full 26-minute interview. But also, we're going to be covering another interview that occurred just the next day, which would be December 24th. And the interview was on Dr. Jerome Corsi's program. And Patrick Byrne testifies about his meeting with the president, with General Flynn and Sidney Powell in the White House, and how they wrangled their way into the Oval Office for a meeting. Very interesting. Towards the end of the clip, Patrick Byrne is giving us some information about evidence they have that ties in a front Chinese company that's located in China directly to machines that were used to fraudulently throw this election to Biden. So listen carefully towards the end of this 21-minute clip. Thank you for listening. Here we go now.
I want to get to that in a minute, but it sounds like you and were hanging out with Sidney Powell and General Flynn, and you got an opportunity to go to the White House. And since you were there, you came along, and then you find yourself sitting in the Oval Office, and there's the President of the United States.
No, we went with an idea of sort of penetrating to the Oval Office. The President is getting bad advice, and we decided it wasn't quite right, and
you waited to change things.
Too much of the detail of what happened, because I don't want to get any Secret Service agents in trouble. But we sort of kind of Jedi mind tricked our way through where we needed to get. Then we got to this, and then we hid in an office for 20 minutes, and then we got to this other, and we worked our way closer to the Oval Office. We just got in. We're next to the Oval Office, and we walked into the Oval Office as we heard the president coming in, and suddenly it was the four of us. There was another lawyer with us, one of Sidney's lawyers. I doubt that woman wants, I don't know if she wants her name used, so I'm not going to include her.
Okay, and so the conversation gets started, and you get in the room. What are the first things you say to the president?
Well, Sidney and General Flynn did most of the talking for the first 10 or 15 minutes. Also, about 15 minutes into it, his lawyers showed up. Three lawyers came in, and they were very upset. It included White House General Counsel Pat Cipollone. I keep getting corrected. However, Cipollone would be the Italian, but I'm not sure how it's pronounced by Americans. And they came in quite huffing and puffing about what was going on. And it turned into – it was a four-hour, 40-minute meeting that was conducted about half of it there, and then a little bit in the cabinet room when Rudy came in, and then we all ended up together in the residence. There's sort of a second Oval Office they call the Yellow Oval, I think, or the president served delicious Swedish meatballs, compliments to the White House chefs. They're really quite good. And we had, and we sat around and talked some more until about 12:10 in the morning. President Trump said when we left the part of the 2 hours in the Oval Office, which almost came to blows, pretty damn close came. If they had been 1 inch pushed further, there would have been at least a slap thrown, a bitch slap, pardon me, but I would have thrown a bitch slap on this lawyer. The lawyers were tremendously disrespectful to Donald Trump. I want anyone to know, and forget the personal disrespect, and which by showing disrespect to the president, they're showing it to the United States. You do not talk to the president that way. They were also lying to him. Pat Cipollone was lying through his teeth, and he got caught lying through his teeth. And I eventually said, Mr. President, I can get three young men from your administration in here in 30 minutes who can explain to you. Well, I actually said that you're who can explain to you they're getting signals from their leaders that just get the president to concede. We're just going to get him into transition mode. Just help us get him to concede. The leaders in the White House, led by Pat Cipollone and more recently Mark Meadows, were telling people in the White House, half the White House, they're so discouraged. I spent 2 months swimming around the outside of this administration, but getting to know people and such. And the message I'm constantly getting is people within love him, the young people, but the leadership is trying to get the young people to get the president, to not to support him, not to carry his orders, not to get the, and just to get him to concede. It was disgusting. And when we were all in front of him, within about 15 minutes, it became clear what they were doing. They are denying, and anything that gets discussed, the lawyers are immediately in the mode of, you can't do that. No, that you can't do that. No, you can't do that one either. No, you can't do that. And Sidney was there and saying, what do you mean you can't do that? Of course he can do that. He's got this power and that. No, you can't. And they got caught so many times. Finally, Flynn and I turned to each other and said, this is surreal, what we're watching. And at one point, Cipollone started not just yelling at me, which I don't care about, or Flynn or Sidney, and being awful. First of all, they're sexist assholes. The way they treated Sidney and the young female lawyer who was with Sidney, if you did that in corporate America today, you'd have a class action lawsuit in a New York minute. So they're sexist assholes. Setting that aside, they were so angry, they started yelling at the president. And I couldn't believe it. And I finally, one of them, Pat Cipollone, was yelling at the president. And at one point if you really want to do this, you don't even need, you can just declare that Sidney Powell is a White House counsel, and she is. And about 20 minutes later of more shouting, and by the way, Mr. Trump turns out to be a much different man than I had ever understood through the mass media. He's actually a very gentle and kind and warm guy, way too patient. He's way too patient. I finally said to him, sir, CEO to CEO, you got to get rid of these guys right now. They're lying to you. I said, I can get young people from your administration to come in right now. Well, in the next 30 minutes, it will tell you these men are sending the word down. Do not help the president. Get him to concede. Blah, blah, blah. So finally, Mr. Trump said, you know what, Pat? And I don't want to repeat too much of what Mr. Trump said, because that's not right.
It's okay. I know there's certain rules and regulations and etiquette about that. But what's critical right now is you heard a meeting and saw President Trump up close. Yeah. And he's going to go down. So let's forget he's not going to go down. But because all of us are restrained, I want you just to tell us what he said. And so they get mad at you. What are they going to do? It's not a crime to say what he said. So what did he say?
He said, after a while, he said, you know, Pat, he said, you folks have a, he said, these people at least want to fight for me. He turned to me at one point and said, you see what I've been putting up with for 4 years? I've had the best all my life. I've had the best lawyers. People call me from all over the world, ask me, what lawyer should I use on this? What should I use on that? I've been in this job for 4 years. Can you imagine what I could have gotten done without these, if I didn't have to work through these people like this? Do you see what I have to put up with? And then he turned to Pat and he said, you know what? These folks are at least ready to fight for me. You're not. I hereby declare Sidney Powell as White House special counsel. And then one of the lawyers started saying, well, you know, it takes a month to get the security clearance and this, that, and the other thing. And General Flynn said, that's not true. You have the right now to declare, Mr. President, that she has a top secret security clearance. And he says, you know what? Sidney Powell now has a top secret security clearance. And the next day, when Sidney Powell called in, Mark Meadows. And this all happened if Mark Meadows was on the phone for that part. When he called in, when she called the next Saturday morning and said, well, Chief of Staff Meadows, it looks like I'm going to need an office in the White House. And Meadows said, Sydney, I'm not sure we can really do that for you. And she said, well, okay, then you need to get me a badge so I can come and go. And Meadows said, I know we'll have to check into that, but I'm not sure we can get that for you either. I will tell you that there was a point that General Flynn, because these goon lawyers were standing up and acting intimidating, General Flynn got to his feet, and he's a wonderful gentleman, calm, measured fashion. He said, can we just start with a common baseline? You folks, you do agree that on November 3rd, he won the election. You do see that he won, don't you? And let's start there. And the three lawyers looked down and kicked the dirt and looked around, wouldn't answer that question, which is when President Trump said, hey, it's, you know, you folks aren't even fighting for me. These folks at least want to fight. And he tried to do that thing with Sidney Powell, and he did it. He did it. It was done. And the next morning, Mark Meadows refused to carry out that instruction, and all the goons went to work. And before you knew it, by Monday night or Tuesday, it was off the table. So,
what happens in these, what you're telling us here, is that as soon as you guys left, then the naysayers, Cipollone and Meadows and all these guys came back in and said, now, Mr. President, I know that you had this meeting, but you're a little insane there. Why don't you get back in line and why don't you do what we tell you to?
They can slow roll. They refuse to carry out orders. I don't want to include Mr. Meadows in the same group. Mr. Meadows is not venal. Mr. Meadows is weak. He's a congressman. He's a lovely guy. He should go be an ambassador somewhere, not to, you know, like Italy or something. He's not a man of courage, but he's not venal. The lawyer, Pat Cipollone, I got to tell you, all these guys, well, one of the three was actually on his way out. That was his last day. And Mr. Trump, I don't want to tell you his name, but President Trump said, you know, can you believe this fellow? This is his last day because he's starting a new job on Monday at 10 times the salary I'm paying him. All these people are being told, if you just get by the Washington establishment, if you get the president to concede, there's a nice cushy job waiting for you.
We got $1 million salary for you over here at XYZ firm. Why don't you just get him?
You're going to see them get $1.5 million, $2 million salaries.
Right.
And there'll be invitations for you to join Baldur's Roll and the right social circles and all this
Your
stuff.
Life is going to be made. Just get rid
and
of
if
Trump.
If you don't, you're a pariah.
If you support Trump and give him good advice, we're going to destroy your career.
Yeah.
Which you already have.
If God forbid, these guys, if President Trump, if this doesn't work out, I bet you see these guys get jobs for $1.5 million, $2 million salaries within 60 days of by the end of March.
And they'll do nothing when the communist Chinese come after Donald Trump to put him in prison or kill him for war crimes. They'll cooperate with communist China because communist China will pay them more.
Who said it? You said you opened saying something about the Chinese are saying Trump, they're going to prosecute Trump as a criminal.
Yeah. War criminal.
Yeah, well, at least it doesn't harvest organs.
Well, look, Patrick, we've got to take this. This is, I mean, first of all, I know Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump had to in one of these, you know, going through this, listening to these guys. And by the way, it's no longer time to play Hamlet, you know, to be, not to be, what should I do? Maybe I should do this. It's time for some decisive action.
I have to say, that's if I had one way to, he was too nice. He's too nice, and he was a bit Hamlet-like. He knows what the right thing to do is. He knows what the right thing to do is, but he's too nice. He should have fired one lawyer on the spot. The one lawyer was being so disrespectful. I was on there was a point that when they sort of crowded Flynn, I jumped up and Flynn and I were shoulder, pardon me, Flynn, Byrne, couple mix, you know, but we were shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
Two lawyers. I had already set my trigger point. If that lawyer leaned his face 1 inch closer, I was going to throw not a right hook, but a bitch slap on him. He was so disrespectful the way he talked to Flynn and the way he talked to the president.
Because they come in and say, you know, Mr. President, you don't understand. You can't do this. And you're going to make him feel terrible. Now, I've seen Donald. Let me give you a picture of Donald Trump as I've seen him. So here we are. I'm VIP guest in the hotel. I mean, I've been there, you know, I had stretched limousine parked outside. And Donald Trump, I had my table in the Edwardian room where I had breakfast every morning. Well, here's Donald Trump. He's got his family over here. And I come over and say hello to him. And we know each other and say hello. Well, he's the most gracious guy in the world.
He really is.
And he'll tip the, he makes sure everybody has money coming out. He tip these people like I was tipping them. You know, I go out to the morning, get my, in my limousine, I hand the doorman $20. Here you are. I didn't want him to do anything. Just thank you for being here.
Right.
Okay. And know that this is a guy who makes the place work. That's how Donald Trump thinks.
Right. Now,
when you think that way, you're a CEO, you know how it is.
He knows just who makes the place work. That's well said. He knows just who makes the place work.
Okay. Now, he's got to understand these lawyers are not making the place work. What they're going to do is
the place not work. They're making the place gummed up because that way they're going to be accepted in the right socialite circles and in New York. And when they go to the Met, people are going to say, oh, you helped get us rid of that horrible man.
Yeah, orange man bad.
You got around that circles. I think of it as slumming. I grew up around people like that, and you aren't missing a thing, and it's slumming, and they're so there.
Okay, and go ahead.
So did he appoint Sidney Powell special counsel and give her the security clearance she needs?
He did verbally, but over the weekend his staff undermined it and sabotaged it and this and that, and it didn't get done.
I'll tell you what they do. They put all kinds of trash out about her.
Yeah, but all of this, the general counsel went out and spun a bunch of lies about the meeting to his pet journalist, Maggie Haberman of the New York Times. Pat Cipollone is a leaker to Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, and he put out some lies about the meeting and that it was about martial law and Insurrection Act and this. Those are fabrications. Now,
did that get discussed at all? Did anything come up about martial law in all this time?
Not one word. Now, the Insurrection Act was not mentioned. Martial law was not.
But yet, Maggie Haberman makes it her biggest story of the day coming out of there.
Yeah, it's a fabrication. It's a fabrication. And based on the typical unnamed sources that we can't name in the Oval Office, well, here you have a name source. His name is Patrick Byrne. He was there. I was there. I posted a picture of me in the White House, which is also something you don't do. But you have a name source who was in the meeting who's saying that's a flat lie. Maggie Haberman had printed a fabrication. The New York Times printed a fabrication.
And Mark Meadows did nothing to correct it. He said did nothing to say that was wrong. He's happy to have the.
I say he's a weak man. He's a weak man. He's not venal. He's a go-along guy. He's probably. I bet you he's got $1 million salary waiting for him at some lobbying firm. And I bet you Pat Cipollone's got $1.5 million salary at some. At Sullivan and Cromwell or something like that.
He'll be the toast of the town. You'll celebrate him in the restaurants. Everywhere he goes, come to the Kennedy Center, they'll stand up and applaud for him.
Trump fights on, that's all gone. That's all off the table. That's how it works.
These people control it. You know, they think it's going to be all fine. They'll bring Biden in. They don't understand. They'll be one of the first to go. You know, this is basically
the first thing is the wall when the revolution comes. You know what? I can tell you something Donald Trump could do that, in my mind, would give him like 100% chance of victory. He could do in 2 minutes. It would be make Michael Flynn his general
chief of staff. Yeah, make him chief.
Sidney Powell, either the White House general counsel or the attorney general, the acting attorney.
I mean, at least get your friends around you and the people who want to work for you. Let's get the people in there who will be giving him advice to win.
Be over by January 6th. All the answers would be out. Here's another thing the president was very clear about. He said, you know, I don't have any trouble leaving on January 20th. If I've lost, I'll go. I'll walk to the airplane. I'll leave. All this stuff about him wanting, you know. But he said, I don't want to do that. And if the election was stolen from me, and I just want an answer, Pat Cipollone, and you're not doing anything to get me.
He'll do nothing. Pat Cipollone has no intention of helping Donald Trump.
We have a plan that doesn't involve the military, doesn't involve seizing computers. It involves inspecting, and you know, it's organized by General Flynn, and it's organized to a fairly, you know, to a fairly well that would require, that would allow the inspection of certain machines in certain places. We have teams, everything is aligned. It's like a, you know, we have an execution list and all the assets and everybody ready to do it. And by January 4, really by that December 31st, even if he signed it today, we would have the answer by December 31st, maybe January 2nd or 3rd at the latest, 4th at the latest. We're going to have the answer. America would know, was the election rigged or not? And then on January 6th, Congress could make an informed decision. Why are people fighting just having transparency? This is all about they're fighting letting there be an inspection of the election.
They want to get a theft. Say, don't worry about this. There's nothing to see here. Now, look. What you're telling me, and I want to really get this point down hard, and that is there's a small group that could save Donald Trump.
Yes.
General Flynn.
No problem at all.
And the military intelligence guys in Flynn's unit, which have already produced a report showing how communist China owns this Dominion voting systems and how they are inside it and the data is going to Iran, this is a national security issue.
We don't really know that the Chinese own it, but I can promise you, although there are some very murky transactions.
Yes, they bought something, whether they own it outright or what they have made an investment in this company through a shell corporation, and that's been revealed in the SEC filings.
Yeah, HSBC, the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation, has all the intellectual property pledged to it of Dominion. There's some, you know, whether it's equity or it's a preferred return, it's a preferred piece, or there's some kind of financial transaction. But what's more important than who owns what is that, we know for a fact, and I have to be careful what I say, but we now have all the IP data that shows China was on, a machine. Well, there's many examples of this, but we now have a complete soup-to-nuts forensic trail showing a counting machine in a U.S. swing state being accessed through a – you know what the Internet of Things is?
Oh, yes, of course.
An appliance in a room that was in a room where the counting machine was, and there was a wireless card in the Dominion machine that was accessed from an appliance, and you inspect that appliance, the – IP that was accessing it traces all the way back to a city in China, to a corporate headquarters, and it's a corporation that you probably have heard of, and its name is on the list of those corporations that are really sort of front for the Chinese CCP. So the Chinese CCP was coming through the Internet and through an appliance in a room accessing the wireless card Dominion counting machine during the counting.
It's through a thermostat. They can take a thermostat and have it bounce the data through an IP back to China so it doesn't happen right in the computer itself.
Let's not talk any more about who exactly where and how they did it, but
okay.
We have it all.
That's my guess and from little pieces I've had. But I want to go back to another thing.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got some very, very interesting information for you. We've got Patrick Byrne that was not only interviewed on the 23rd by Owen Stroyer. Now, we have that up. We're going to put that up on the secrettruth.com page so you can come up and listen to that full 26-minute interview. But also, we're going to be covering another interview that occurred just the next day, which would be December 24th. And the interview was on Dr. Jerome Corsi's program. And Patrick Byrne testifies about his meeting with the president, with General Flynn and Sidney Powell in the White House and how they wrangled their way into the Oval Office for a meeting. Very interesting. Towards the end of the clip, Patrick Byrne is giving us some information about evidence they have that ties in a front Chinese company that's located in China directly to machines that were used to fraudulently throw this election to Biden. So listen carefully towards the end of this 21-minute clip. Thank you for listening. Here we go now. This is getting very serious now. Patrick Byrne actually is testifying that Sidney Powell and others, General Flynn and others, have evidence now that links the Chinese through a Chinese front corporation to machines and possibly through some kind of a thermostat, but that's not clear now. So this thing is very, very serious, and I'm just afraid for people's lives right at this stage. Now, our next story is what we're going to get into is News 5 there in Nashville made an initial report about the bombing that occurred in Nashville on Christmas morning, early in the morning between 5:30 and 6:30. And here are some of the first reports, and then we'll actually play a recording that came from the motor home before it exploded. So listen to this News 5 report now.
On this Christmas morning, as we continue our developing news, breaking news coverage of a huge explosion, Nick Barris in the 5 Alert Center. Nick, I understand you have spoken with a witness. What have you learned?
Yeah, Roy, this is getting to the heart of the question of what was it exactly that led law enforcement to believe that this RV on 2nd Avenue was suspicious? What drew them to that location and why? And it's really a critical question being asked right now, and I think we have some answers to that question. I talked about it earlier in one of my live hits, and now we have one of the witnesses, a resident who lives right down there, joining us on the phone right now to talk about what it was she saw. And this, folks, is very interesting. Let me make sure we've got her on the line. Can you hear me, ma'am?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us. If you would, real quickly, could you please give us an idea of where you live, proximity to this RV, and then we'll get into what happened this morning.
Okay, I live at 166 2nd Avenue North. That's the building where the melting pot is located and Rodizio. And the RV was parked right outside of our window. We're on the third floor, and the RV was directly across the street from our apartment.
Okay, so now let's go to what you told me and what I know authorities are looking into as well. It was around 5 or 5:30 this morning that you were awakened, and walk me through it to the sound of gunshots initially?
Exactly. Between 5 and 5:30 a.m., we heard very loud gunshots, repetitive, like 5 to 6 shots. I'm not sure, but very loud, and that woke us up. But we only heard it for a minute, and we just thought maybe, you know, you don't know. You live downtown, you hear things. We've been living there for 15 years. Well, about 5 minutes later, we heard it again. And then I realized, and it was in the same place right outside of our window, basically on the street. So I called 911 for the first time at 5:32 this morning was my 911 call to say that I had heard gunshots. Well, then I went downstairs. We have a two-level apartment, and I looked out the shades of my window, which I was a little bit afraid to raise because of the gunshots were so close, and I saw an RV directly out front across the street. And I began to hear a broadcast from, like a recording coming from the RV, and it was saying, this vehicle has a bomb. If you can hear this message, you need to evacuate. And all that was happening, and it was still, I mean, that went on for about 30 minutes. And but then the RV message changed and said, you have 15 minutes to evacuate. And then we heard 14 minutes. Well, I went downstairs, and I looked out on the sidewalk, and I saw that police were at both ends. By the way, I did see a police officer earlier between 5:30 and 6 a.m. walk around the RV.
Okay,
and 911 told me that police had responded.
So they had responded, and we'll take it from there then. So what you're saying you heard at some point, and maybe this was something law enforcement had already been alerted to, was some kind of an announcement coming from the RV. I think you mentioned to me, did you not, it sounded recorded, a male voice, but you never saw any individual inside the RV.
No, I couldn't see inside the RV. It was parked facing in an opposite direction, so I never saw the windshield. And, you know, I was listening to something that I think you guys just played on the news, and now I'm not as positive it was a male voice, but it was definitely a recorded voice.
A recorded voice. Okay.
Consistent, saying, you know, evacuate this area. This vehicle is a bomb. I mean, it has a bomb. And then it started the countdown, and the last count we heard was 8 minutes, and we were in our cars driving across the river. But then it didn't go off until sometime after that.
Okay, so, yeah, do you think you made it across, you went over to Nissan Stadium, maybe in the parking area there,
countdown. We watched our building, and we were looking right at our building, and we knew we couldn't hear the countdown at that point, but we knew from the time that we left, you know, 20 minutes had passed, and there hadn't been an explosion. So we started driving back, We came back across KVD Bridge, and we're going to turn down 2nd Avenue. In fact, we made it almost down. We were on 2nd Avenue, headed towards Broadway, but not quite to Broadway, and that's when we saw the explosion.
So at that point, you thought, hey, this may have been some type of hoax, and then, boom,
right.
It went off.
Yeah, we thought it was over, and then it happened, and then we just pulled over, and, of course, by that time, everything was blocked off. And
wow. You know, by the way,
yeah,
we're
in a hotel now.
Just to ask you this, do you know, were there other residents in the building, to your knowledge, that got out safely, perhaps, or...?
Not in our building is a vacation rental business. We run that. Now, two of our family members are here. We have, and we got them out with us. They were in separate apartments, but they came with us. So the only four people in our building got out.
Had you not gotten out, do you think you would have been harmed?
Oh, definitely. You all have been showing it on here. We're the building straight across from the explosion. The whole front of our building is blown up.
So you might have been killed. You might have been killed if not for that warning.
Yes, if not for the warning. If that person had just detonated that bomb with no warning and no gunshots, we would have been either very seriously injured or killed.
Let me ask you this, too. As someone who's familiar, obviously, very familiar with 2nd Avenue, the fact that there would have been an RV parked there along that stretch on Christmas morning, by itself, just sitting there, is not all that unusual, would it be? There were other vehicles parked on the road. That wouldn't have been suspicious by itself, would it?
No, it wouldn't have, and especially because it's the holidays and people know that parking's not being enforced. I would have assumed that was some family visiting somebody, and they just parked their RV there.
So it's your belief, then, that the early response from law enforcement and obviously how you were able to get out of there is because of combination. The gunshots, which really right now we can't really explain what those were all about, and then the warning from the vehicle.
Exactly. Yeah, the gunshots, I mentioned this before, and I'm not sure of this, but the gunshots were so loud, there is a possibility. We've wondered now if they weren't a recording that came from the vehicle as well.
Interesting.
We don't know that, but as we've reflected back on it, because we heard it three times, it was exactly the same. You know, we wonder now if we weren't listening to a recording, but we don't know. But the gunshots definitely is what woke us up. And because the recording, I don't think, would have been loud enough to wake us up if we hadn't heard the gunshots.
Of course. By the way, do you have any inkling, and not something you would have necessarily noticed, but how long had the RV been there? Was it there earlier in the day? Do you think it just showed up overnight? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was not. I went out yesterday morning. I went to do a little last-minute shopping, and I don't remember seeing it then. I feel like I might have noticed because the street was pretty dead. You know, I mean, there were a few workman type cars there, but I didn't notice it, so I don't know.
And you would, and by the
and
way,
I didn't take a picture of it or anything.
Sure, why would you, of course? And can you give me, though, kind of a description of it, an older RV, a new one? Is this one of those where there was a camper attached to a pickup, or how would you describe it?
No, it was a single vehicle. It was definitely one vehicle.
Okay.
You know, like a bigger kind of RV. It wasn't all beat up looking, but it wasn't new. You know, it wasn't one of those sleek, slick-sided ones. It was more of an older one, but it was large. I mean, it was a large RV, and it was an older one.
Now, do you have any idea when you'll be allowed back into the area? And for now, I assume you're elsewhere.
Yeah, we're at a hotel now. Honestly, it's very difficult to tell. I don't know which building for sure is ours that you're all showing on the film, but I know all of our front windows are blown out, our apartment's blown out. I can't imagine that we'll be let back in for days, and we didn't come out with anything but the clothes on our backs and pajamas.
And again, since you're very familiar with that area, we know there are restaurants and clubs there. Can you think of anything there in your mind, and I'm just asking you as a citizen who lives in that area, that would have been a potential target?
No, I can't. I mean, our thought was they must be after the AT&T building. That was our thought, just because, you know, that's where they were parked, on that side of the street. They chose not, thank God, to go down to Broadway and destroy everything. So, I mean, our thought was they must have been aiming for the building that they parked close to.
Gotcha. Well, that's certainly something I know law enforcement will be going to look at, and that's just speculation right now. But listen, ma'am, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm so glad you were safe, and hopefully what you've shared here along with authorities will help in the investigation of this case. But thank you, ma'am, so much for your time.
That was quite an interview with that lady. And it took longer than they thought for that bomb to go off. So they were actually 30 or 40 minutes or longer. They had to evacuate people along that street. And the first responders, boy, they're heroes in getting in there and getting those people out. The bomb was parked on the side closest to the AT&T building. And people are speculating now that maybe it could have been a disgruntled employee. or something like that. They do have a person of interest in Antioch, Tennessee. We're not going to be giving out any names. The FBI are presently there. Just a few minutes ago at about 3:36, two technician-looking types walked out and handed a report to ATF man there in the FBI in charge. So I don't know exactly what's going on. They are searching a premise, their home in Antioch, Tennessee. We don't want to implicate anyone without, you know, proof, because, you know, sometimes they get it wrong. So, but the FBI do have a person of interest. It's an individual in his 60s, and he does have a motorhome much like that in the photograph that was parked outside of the AT&T building in downtown on 2nd Street that did explode. We don't know for sure if they've identified it positively. They have a Google map shot of it from overhead that it was parked in his driveway there. So anyway, we're going to now conclude with just this sound of this explosion, and just you have to hear it a little bit. It's about 4 minutes long, and then we're going to move on to some news about other events and some conclusions about why Pence is going over to Israel. We're not going to conclude this broadcast with a recording of what was coming from the motor home there that exploded. But anyway, moving on to other news. There's all kinds of differing opinions about what's going on behind the scenes. The Patrick Byrne testimony of the meetings that they had with the president and others are very, very interesting. And they're proving to a point that the president is totally isolated, and they don't want anyone around him that can provide any truth to him. And so this is really a disadvantage for the president to that's going on there in the White House. So we don't know for sure how they're keeping the president from getting really some truthful and accurate information from the outside. But those people are around him all day long in the White House, and they are keeping out Powell and General Flynn and Patrick Byrne. They don't want those people close to the president. So it looks like that this is continuing a saga of keeping the president in the dark about what's really going on. And I don't see right now, I'm monitoring the Fox News Network, and the people have cleared away from the side entrance to this home. But so we don't have any further knowledge about this person of interest in Antioch, Tennessee. But we'll report that as time goes on and give you an update towards the end of this. Now, getting back to this January the 6th date, everyone is keying in on that as being the pivotal, most critical date, and they're all putting a lot of responsibility on Pence as to stopping this fraudulent election from proceeding. And we just don't think, well, Mike Adams expressed his opinion today. He does not think that that the Congress nor the Senate will vote in favor of the President Trump. So if they don't vote in favor of Trump, then where do we go from there? We were thinking and trying to count on the possibility of Trump being able to wrangle a contingent election by Congress, which would open up the state delegations to Trump. But there again, there's nobody that you can really trust on this. And what's happening now is that with evidence coming up now from Sidney Powell and General Flynn and others about a direct Chinese interference, then that could easily trip off the executive order that he signed in September of 2018. And in that executive order, he said that director of National Intelligence had 45 days to render a report about international interference outside of the country of our elections. And that now is being proved by Sidney Powell and them, but the people in the White House are trying to keep the president away from some of this evidence and so forth. Now, Alex Jones and others, and this thing is sweeping the country. There's country music stars that are going, they're using their own, buses or, to put people in at 150 to 350, and they're going to Washington DC on January 6th. So the January 6th, there's going to be a big crowd outside of the White House. And I put forward an idea that the president should have a PA system set up. One of the ideas is that people are going to surround and protect the president in the White House. And one of my ideas was to set up a big PA system on the grounds of the White House oriented towards the crowd. And then the president could remain in a very safe, secure area inside the White House and speak to the crowd directly. So I put that on the table a few days ago. And I just hope that maybe they pick up on that idea and do that. That way there wouldn't be a security problem of the president having to get to some stage somewhere that would not be that secure. But so that's ongoing now. Now the other thing is there's been articles that Vice President Pence is going to leave sometime after the 6th of January for a trip to Israel. Now what is that about? And then also, there's other articles stating that the National Security Advisor is going to precede him on that trip to Israel and leave before Pence. So evidently something has been going on with Israel about a possible attack on Iran that's being planned. And I think that they can't trust Pence in doing that attack. So I believe they're looking for Trump to carry out an attack on Iran before he goes out of office. That's sort of the inclination, sort of the feel that I get for what's going on right now. Otherwise, we're in very, very serious problems here. The Chinese threat is real. Yahweh woman that was arrested up there and detained, still being detained in Canada, is still there under detention. She's trying to seek a more liberal detention. They have a curfew on her and things like that and an ankle bracelet. So she's under really strict monitoring and so forth. But Yahweh, her father founded Yahweh, and then I think he was replaced in that head position since she's been detained. But that tells me the Canadian officials are getting tough with China. Otherwise, they would have worked out a deal with China. But she's fighting extradition from Canada, Vancouver area, to the United States. Now, the United States has been very tough on Yahweh, and they don't want any of their equipment or anything else. They can't operate here anymore. President Trump also has sanctions against some of their head leaders' investment here in this country. He's prohibited companies, Chinese companies, from being listed on our stock exchanges. And so, boy, they don't want that. Now, the overall idea here about Trump in you could say, conflict with and at loggerheads with the one world system, the deep state, the New World Order, however you want to describe them. This is the money power that is accumulated into their hands over several couple of centuries, 200 plus years. And so they're very powerful. They own the banks. They own the central banks. And so they're able to manipulate through the central banks most countries, governments. And in doing that, then they can set up and do what they want to. Now, it seems to indicate to me that there's a problem. There are two groups. You could say it's the money group. You got to put Israel in there with the crown and with that commonwealth that the queen administers, lords over. And then you have to put Israel in there and the United States, big money people and the deep state, And we're talking about intelligence agencies that have come together, okay, the Five Eyes and things like this. And they're running things from behind the scenes, see. But right now, you've got that blocked. You've got the money, power, intelligence, deep state, New World Order. You could say deep state block of power and control that's been working towards achieving world dominance, okay? And one of their objectives is to build down the population. That's why they're into eugenics in a very big way. Now, on the other side, in the East, we have a rising China, and they become very, very powerful economically and so forth. Some people would maintain that the Western money bloc is still manipulating China, and there's indications that Yale in China, Y-A-L-E, the university, they call it Yale in China, went over in the early 1900s through their theological seminaries and overtures and established schools in China. One of those schools educated Mao Zedong later, okay? And so there's a theory there, and there's some evidence that Mao Zedong was actually picked out for future leadership in China. I think the reason why China ended up in 1949 with a Chinese government is that this money power, this Western bloc, you could say, in the 1700s, China was becoming a world dominant power. And so they started importing opium in there and debilitated the country and kept them from really organizing, becoming a world trading industrial power. And then after that was over with, then I believe they bestowed on them through Mao Zedong communism, which acted in a way not to develop the economy. Only in the last few decades has China seized upon capitalism and so forth and free markets to really, you could say, explode their economy and accumulate a lot of the world's wealth. Now, I believe there could have been a problem on this virus. This could have been an operation that forced a release in the Wuhan lab for level 4, but there might be a lot of intrigue and national intelligence agencies that are behind, you could say, the release of that, and the Chinese might have caught on. We don't know for sure, but we do know that we have an epidemic. We do know that this COVID-19 was a biowarfare, you could say, a biological agent. And it has differing strains that it's evolving into. So some strains that it could be evolving into could have been dangerous before the preceding strain, see. That's the way these viruses do, see. Is they'll reach a point to where they're not as dangerous at a point, and then all of a sudden they'll go through an evolution of you could say recombination, and it will they'll be a very, very risky, a very dangerous strain that comes out of that recombining and so forth from person to person. So it's possible that we're into a very dangerous strain now. We don't know for sure. We know that the statistics of cases is not accurate because we know the testing, there's a lot of false positives. So we know that that's a put up job. And then on the death side, they're counting a lot of people that did not die of COVID-19, but died from just a lot of other, a plethora of othering ailments. And there might have been, and there were some perhaps COVID-19 in there. So, we're not getting a very, accurate assessment of that at this time. Now, all of a sudden, Christmas morning, we have an explosion in Nashville, and then we have this ongoing, you could say, struggle to expose this massive, election fraud. And some people on the conspiratorial side are saying the Nashville was a false flag, possibly. The recording that was coming from motor home would indicate it could be more on a domestic terrorist type of individual, maybe a disgruntled individual with AT&T. It could have been someone that wanted to damage their communication for a plethora of different motives. We don't have a motive yet. They do have, they're at this individual's home. They are searching it. There's been no mention. They mention his name, but they've said that they don't have anyone in custody or under arrest or anything else. So we'll just have to see how that goes and go from there. I'm going to just stop right now and take a pause. Then I'm going to do a final update of about 4 or 5 minutes, and then we'll call this hour over with. But see, stay tuned, and I'll be right back in just a second. We're going to end the program with an update from Gateway Pundit. And we're going to, he's going to get into an interview with Alex Jones on some election fraud and other issues. And there's a list that's coming out with 50,000 American names that have been tied into to Chinese corruption and so forth. Very, very important. Here we go now with this Gateway Pundit update. Here we go now.
And yes, I think there are some real concerns with China right now. There's a number of things that just occurred over the last 24 hours, as you know. This release of these more than, 2 million individuals that are members of the Communist Party, that's a list of worldwide individuals. My understanding is there's at least 50,000 Americans on that list. It's probably no surprise. We can't wait to see who those people are. The names are in Chinese, so they need to be translated, but we just based on phone number, we can tell there's around 50,000. So that was big. We have some other, there was the hack last night on one of the government entities, the financial entity, and then news this morning also about the Dominion-related software that's being, there's a major concern there. So some software that's related to Dominion. So lots going on there. We knew in March that the COVID was something that was big, but we also saw that they were lying about it immediately. The WHO was, as you would call, Alex, we were on your show and we talked about this, how the WHO was saying this thing was going to be worse than, really, it sounded like the Spanish flu with a 3% mortality rate worldwide, and that scared the whole world. And we noticed, no, their numbers weren't right. They were inaccurate. Now we're seeing that come to fruition as Democrats continue to want to close down cities, but the numbers just aren't there. They just don't make sense. So we were right then, and there's a lot going on, and so certainly a lot for us to chat about.
Well, Joe, I know, because I'm up 18 hours a day. I know you guys. I'm not about kissing your ass. It's true. You guys are doing like more work than everybody else combined. I don't know how you're doing it. And the lawsuits, the groups you're funding, and what you're doing, you're the tip of the spear, buddy. And so it's good to see somebody out there more the tip of spear than we are. But we're good at live on air. I have a lot of great guests. But that's why you're here, so people use the great source of truth that is GatewayPundit.com. The only way these articles that you guys are putting out with all this great source material get out there is when people spread it. So people see. Joe Hoff from GatewayPundit.com is a anti-fraud researcher, a big corporate auditor, and he's just dedicated all his time, been drafted into the fight with his brother over Gateway Pundit, has become a major leader in the fight. So this is like a 9-minute segment, longer segment coming up, and I'm going to try to shut up, give you the floor. Where do we start with all the huge developments really documenting election fraud? There's so many. Please tell us about them.
Yeah, thanks, Alex, and thanks again for having me on. It's great to be here. It's an honor. I guess the thing that is, if we go back to the start, we always knew something was going to happen, and we just knew that because of all the coups that have been in place already, the Mueller and the impeachment, et cetera. So it came really as no surprise that something would happen, although it still upset, you know, everybody watching the election night proceedings where Trump's way ahead. We go to bed about 4 a.m. and it looks like Trump's got it wrapped up, but not as nearly as much as we'd expected. And then to wake up to see these major changes in some of these key swing states where suddenly Trump's behind. It didn't take us but a couple hours to realize there were some major data dumps that occurred in these swing states. So that was kind of the first shock, and then that put everybody on defensive from everybody that, you know, all the Trump supporters, which I believe is maybe 80. Some people suggest even 90 million votes for Trump. Certainly Biden didn't get the 80 million that they're saying. And we can see this just from an auditor's perspective, Alex. Just take a look at the big picture, and this is something you would do when you start an audit. You'd do a lot of planning, but you'd certainly look at the big picture. Okay, What was the most votes anybody had ever accumulated in an election? Well, that was Obama with 69 million in 2008. And so President Trump has 65 million or 62 million actually in the last election with Hillary supposedly accumulating 65 million. So immediately we see Trump surpassing this record of Obama's of going past 70 million. Nobody in U.S. history had ever done that. But for us that were following Trump, it wasn't surprising because we kept track of his progress during the primaries. And it's despite the media's bogus polls that were saying that Biden was ahead, which were garbage from the start, we knew that Trump was doing great. And we could see it through boat parades, and which were amazing, that were happening every weekend, it seemed like, around the country. Very big, huge, massive gatherings of boats with Trump flags and everything. We saw cars the day before the election. Every U.S. city had cars. Even I seen in New York City and trucks with Trump flags behind them in a parade, marching around the country. And so we knew there was an energy for President Trump that we'd never seen before. So it's no surprise that President Trump surpassed 70 million and became the first individual in U.S. history to do so legitimately. And right now he's around 74 million. But the big picture is there's absolutely no way that Joe Biden had accumulated 80 million votes. It was that's a joke. It's a travesty. And again, it's the deep state and these people that hate Trump, the elites, China, the Democrats. Just another slap in the face like we saw so many times during his first term, where he would make a major event just to see the Democrats behind the scene smashing him, or Rosenstein with some bogus Russia collusion type of narrative come out at the same time he's meeting with some world leaders and doing great things. And so it was really nasty as looking back at it, how they'd stolen again the greatest election ever.
It's everybody knows now that this election is fraudulent. Now, with some of the evidence being accumulated by Sidney Powell and others about a direct link, an interference by China, then that executive order signed in September 2018 can effectively be, it's been activated, they say, but we don't know if Trump is going to actually come through and do that, or will he ever get into an insurrection act? We don't know that. He's been hesitant or just indecisiveness. So that raises the point, is there something they're holding over his head? Is there something they've got on him? So is President Trump under blackmail of some kind for some previous misdeed or problem? Does he have loans out to the wrong people or what? We don't know for sure, but he doesn't really follow through on declassifying stuff. He appointed Powell, as a White House counsel and didn't follow through on that. So we just don't know where he's coming from. We know that he's being, corralled and shielded from outside influences. But anyway, we want to thank everyone out there for listening tonight. And just this Nashville thing was terrible. Thank goodness it didn't result in deaths and so forth. But anyway, thank you very much, and God bless each and every one of you. Merry Christmas, and have a happy and a wonderful New Year in 2021. Good night.